There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA.
My gosh.
On April 27th, 2020, the Department of Defense officially released three videos of what they call unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAPs.
Well, if there's anything, it's rotating.
Now, I know what you're thinking. The public has seen these UFO videos before. In fact, some of you may have seen the FLIR 1 clip as far back as 2007. That is, if you were paying close enough attention. So what does this all mean? Why should we even care that it was now officially released? The Black Vault got deeply entrenched into trying to get these videos out officially, and there's a really good reason why. Stay tuned. You're about to journey inside the Black Vault. That's right, everybody. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and taking this journey inside the Black Vault with me. I'm your host, John Greenwald Jr., owner and founder of the Black Vault. In fact, I'm the entire team. You're looking at them. So I appreciate you tuning in and showing some support for this channel. Or if you're listening to the podcast, make sure that you subscribe to the live channel. That way you can see the brand new videos that come out. They come out first there at www.theblackvault.com/live. Once you are there, or if you're there now, make sure you click on that subscribe button, turn the notifications on, and of course, give these videos a thumbs up. It is a huge, huge help to me. So thank you for that. And I want to just kind of get right into it. I know that recently there has been a lot of headlines. There have been a lot of headlines on the three UFO videos that have been released officially by the Department of Defense and the Department of the Navy. Now, as I said in the introduction, what in the world does all of this mean? Now, some of it may be a little bit dry, but I guarantee that this is an incredibly important step into figuring out, number one, what is going on, but number two, taking the next step to trying to find out if there are more videos. And logic will tell us that there are, and I'll get into all of that. Now, as always, I always like to have a little bit of a visual presentation for you guys. That way I can at least point some stuff out, have you look at some things as I go through them, and give you, again, that overview. I have not told this story in full before, which is how all of this kind of came about, where I don't want to take credit for the Navy releasing these videos, but I want to give you the behind the scenes of what was going on since May 1st of 2019, since I started fighting for these. Whether or not that played a role, I'm not really sure. However, I do believe that it contributed to them being in what I call a rock and a hard spot, or you may have heard me refer to this as being in a pickle in the last couple live streams when I've talked about this, and that proved to be true. So I'll get into all of that. So let's just kind of jump right in. I want to get into a little bit of a refresher. I won't spend too much time on this, but this is what's called a DD Form 1910. This is giving you a little bit of a background of how those three videos originally started to get reviewed on the inside of the Pentagon. Now, the controversy about this part of it is whether or not that they were actually released for the media. Media distribution, for you and I to see them. That is a huge debate. Obviously, I get myself in trouble here if you've paid attention because people don't like the fact that all evidence points to they were never really officially released. So the reason why I want to bring this point up is some of you have asked me, and I've seen on social media and so on, well, how many times have these things been released officially? This is ridiculous. We've seen them. This is just repeat over and over. And that technically is not true. I'll do another video on this particular portion. However, for those who saw the recent Vice News piece, they published an Air Force Office of Special Investigations report when they looked into the leak of these three videos. They actually wasn't profiled in the Vice piece, but they actually, AFOSI, had concluded the exact same thing that I did, which was the videos were not cleared for public release. In fact, what I believe is the DOPSR person, meaning the person that reviewed the videos, they specifically state in the report, they asked him, if you knew that these would be for media distribution, would you have given the approval for that? And he said no. They were under the impression that it was going to be U.S. government use only. So I know that that is a little bit of a dead horse for some of you, and I'm beating it continually, but it's important to answer that question that I've seen asked a lot. How many times have these things been officially released? How many times do we have to go over this? And to be honest with you, the answer is only one. And that is the only release that I think happened with these three videos. So again, I'll do something more extensive later, but that's just how I wanted to set the stage a little bit of the root of how these three videos came about. Now, we discovered through the Freedom of Information Act a request that I had done to the Secretary of Defense's office. No surprise here, but Mr. Luis Elizondo had filed that DD Form 1910. I'm not sure why it was a mystery, and some people didn't want to answer that prior to the FOIA release. It was kind of obvious, but for whatever reason, that mystery was there until they officially released the form. So we see Mr. Elizondo's, let me see if I can get a laser pointer here. There we go. You see Mr. Elizondo's name right there and his title from his resignation letter. Everything was matching up in that regard. The other key point to this that, again, I wanted to preface the FOIA journey is this right here. The title of the three videos that were submitted to the DOPSR organization, part of the DOD that reviews information, reviews documents, videos, and so on for release. Now, that doesn't mean worldwide public distribution like we saw in these three videos, but rather you have to submit the reasons why you're asking for it to be cleared for a release. This particular document said, again, United States government use only, but that is, again, setting the stage of the official terminology for these three videos. Now, one of the key parts to this document, and one thing I didn't mention, is this originally leaked through KLAS TV in Las Vegas. You'll recognize the journalist probably easier than the organization. That's George Knapp. He's the first one that put this document out there. In that document, it had said, and this is the official release, the OCA, or the original classifying authority, is the Navy. Point of contact, and then obviously it is redacted. Now, why is this important? Seems like who cares? It's kind of obvious. Well, this shows us that the three videos were owned by the Navy. They are the original classifying authority. And what that means in a legal sense, you have to file the FOIA request to the Navy to actually get those videos reviewed. Now, on May 1st, 2019, which was, I think, if memory serves me well, like 48 hours after George Knapp had published the original DD Form 1910, I had filed the request to the Navy. And it took them about 2 weeks, and they got back to me and said that I had to go to the Secretary of Defense's office, or OSD/JS, which is Office of Secretary of Defense/Joint Chiefs of Staff. I said, okay, that's pretty commonplace sometimes that for whatever reason, the Navy was saying they're the ones that had to review the videos. So I said, okay. Then all of a sudden I got, and by the way, for those who are keeping notes, this is the FOIA request number. In case anybody wants to fact check me, here is the FOIA request number for OSD when I refiled there. Took till June 14th to then tell me that they were forwarding the request to the Navy. So one side did this and the other side did that. And they said, nope, you guys gotta go the other direction. And they were both pointing at each other. That's how I knew that there was a runaround going on. So I literally just grabbed my phone and picked it up, called the Pentagon. And I said, okay, look, I'm going through a runaround here. I'm almost at 2 months of this, you know, finger pointing kind of thing. What do I do? So she went ahead and got back to me via email after some investigation. And they said that before they referred back to the Navy my request, they had found the videos within OSD and realized that they were the only ones with a copy, and apparently the Navy didn't have a copy. So they forwarded them back to the Navy with my request, forwarded back with a brand new FOIA case number, and then it was another waiting game. So sadly, that was a little bit frustrating, but at least I was gaining some headway here in June of 2019 that we were getting somewhere. Now let's fast forward to September of 2019. September of 2019, if you recall, for those fans of the Black Vault and those that paid attention to the media, this was when the United States Navy gave me multiple statements on those three videos. Now keep in mind, there was still no official release yet, and that was in one of their statements. They said they never released those videos. But there was one key statement that was a little blurb in one of the articles that I wrote, and really nobody cared about. In my opinion, next to the UAP designation that they officially put, that was the worldwide viral news. Next to that, this was the most important part of that entire culmination of statements that I got over the course of days. There were 3 days that I had published articles, 1, 2, and 3, back to back to back, one of which was obviously the most important that went viral. But one other statement that I got was that, quote, the three videos were / are designated as unclassified. This coincided with telephone conversations that I had with Mr. Joseph Gratischer as well, where I was told that the videos were always considered unclassified. Now, just a very quick note, you may recall the emails that came out through the FOIA. I've done videos about those before, and they temporarily considered the videos secret. That was standard procedure until they determined the actual designation, because they were not submitted with a classification. So DOPSR said, hey, we're going to consider this secret until we figure out otherwise. And by the emails, they did figure it out. It was unclassified. However, when I got it officially from the Navy, this to me was the nail in the coffin that those three videos were now going to come out officially. And there's a reason why that's incredibly important, and I'm getting there. But the moment that they said that they're unclassified and put it in an official statement, this told me that under the eyes of the FOIA, there was no way that they could get out of it. They could try, but they would have to work really hard to figure out which 9 exemptions in the Freedom of Information Act would apply to 3 videos that they now claim are unclassified. Now, you might ask, well, why does there need to be a review at all? What's the debate on official release or not? Well, the debate is for official use only was the designation after unclassified, or FOUO. Why that's important is that you do need and require that review. So something can be unclassified but sensitive. And yes, maybe one of those FOIA exemptions applied, but my gut feeling told me there was no way that they could get out of this one. Again, they could try, but I just didn't see it happening. So that was one of my favorite parts of the statements that came out from Joseph Gratischer. And that was the rock and hard place that they put themselves in. Because now I knew that under the Freedom of Information Act, my request was in the right spot. It went back to the Navy. Now, one thing that I didn't really publish, or if I did, I didn't make a big deal out of it for a couple different reasons. Because I didn't want NAVAIR, or the Naval Air Systems Command, to start getting inundated with FOIA requests, inquiries, and this and that, because it slows everything down. So whether or not some people are going to harp on me for it, it didn't add to my story at all. So I did omit it because it wasn't relevant at that moment. But through the FOIA, I knew back in on August 29th, 2019, Mr. Gratischer told me that Naval Air Systems Command was the one that owned the video. Now, again, all of these are a little bit dry points, but they're legal and incredibly important as we move forward seeking more videos, more documents, and so on. That we know that NAVAIR was the one that had the primary responsibility to look into these videos and to review them for an official public release. My FOIA request that I showed you earlier, that was in the right spot. I had confirmed that NAVAIR had my request. And at that point, it was a waiting game. Had no idea how long, but I knew that rock and a hard spot would squeeze these videos out. What I aimed for was a higher resolution, meaning clearer if available, but also the longer videos. I believe that they were edited. That's kind of obvious because you see kind of no beginning and no end. It's just kind of like the middle. So I was seeking a much longer clip According to them, they don't have one. According to them, they only have those three clips as we saw them. So that was a little bit of a letdown when they were ultimately released. But at least, again, going back to this, I knew that I was in the right spot. So now April 27, 2020. This DOD press release goes out officially releasing those three videos. What's really interesting here is why I think they did this. And that goes back to the September 2019 viral story when the U.S. Navy told me, John, those three videos are unidentified aerial phenomena. We consider them unidentified. We don't know what they are. That went absolutely viral. I believe that that caught the DOD off guard. This is an opinion. I believe that that caught the opinion, excuse me, that caught the Department of Defense off guard. And I believe that the bottom line was, on this go around, with my FOIA request biting at their heels, eventually they would have to answer it. So they had a choice. Three options, really. Number one, try and deny it. But what FOIA exemption were they going to be able to cite on an unclassified video? So that had already been leaked into the public domain. So were they going to pull it back, reclassify it? What were they going to do? The second option was give it to me through FOIA and cross their fingers and hope for the best that September 2019 would not repeat itself. The third option was be proactive, release it themselves, make it look like it's them being transparent to the world. And that way, yes, it's still interesting, and yes, it will likely get a lot of attention, but this wasn't done through legal means. It was rather done through transparency, through their willingness and openness with the general public. In my opinion, this was PR. This was a way to at least somewhat, a little bit, soften the reaction by the general public to the release of three UFO videos. Within a couple hours, I had my FOIA response, and they pointed me to that NAVAIR site where where those three videos were. They didn't even tell me about the DOD press release. I had just seen that by word of mouth and social media and stuff like that. But here was the FOIA case number, again, in case anybody wants to fact check me. And this was the FOIA release letter for those three videos, again, coming within hours of the DOD dropping that press release. Did this play a role in those videos? I have no idea, but it does make sense that this was more PR, more public relations, and more of an attempt to make the public think that they're being transparent about the issue and just, are kind of blank about it and don't really have anything to hide. Because September of 2019, I think, showed them that the public had a huge interest, and if they were caught off guard again, it definitely would not be good in the PR arena. So I think that that is why they were proactive in releasing those videos. Now, why is this all important? Like, why should we care? The videos are out. Some people are like, why are you harping on whether or not they're officially released or not released or leaked or unauthorized disclosures? John, who cares? We have the videos. And I get you. I totally understand. However, if we want to move forward, just having those three leaked videos is not going to help us. What is going to help us is having those three videos officially released by the United States Navy. Now, we already knew the videos were real. Even I've been very critical about certain claims and never really thought that those videos were fake. I did, however, have questions about the audio, and I openly admit that, but the Navy released them with the audio attached, so, I guess then that's official audio, which is fine. And them commenting back in September 2019 on the videos, referencing the videos, designating the videos as unidentified aerial phenomena, we really had no doubts that they were official. So I feel that the media absolutely did embellish this a little bit. However, it is still good to have that type of exposure for these UFO videos and for the UFO topic. It deserves it. So, I say that a little bit reluctantly, but it just kind of is what it is. But it's important now with the official release of the visual imagery, because now we have the written spokesperson statements, the designation of UAP, the three videos that they consider unclassified, but they designate and depict unidentified aerial phenomena. Why is that important? because it is actually citable in a legal sense. So moving forward, if we only had the leaked documents, I guarantee it would stop there. But now that we have the official release, the official designation, and all of this in writing, in the future, whether it be in FOIA cases or whether it be in FOIA litigation, I wonder if anything will go that far. But when you get into a courtroom, you can cite these legal official, you can cite these official releases in legal ways to then pave the way to get more documents, more videos, lists, logs, procedures, and so on. Now, I'm fighting for those UFO guidelines that were reported last year, and sadly, they consider them classified. That's a big question mark. So why were these three videos unclassified, yet they depict unidentified aerial phenomena? Are there more? Well, Mr. Luis Elizondo told me there are. And so at this point, if they have the three that are unclassified, they've released them officially. Now they're saying they're creating guidelines on how to report UAPs. It sounds like there's more. And by matter of deduction, you could probably comfortably bet money that there are more UAP videos. And now that we can cite the fact that these unclassified videos exist and that they have been officially released and that they are acknowledged and they are recognized by the United States military, that will absolutely pave the way for people like me, you, and whomever else wants to push. And that's why some of these dry points, which I admit get a little snoozy sometimes, are incredibly important in our collective push to get more videos out there. One question mark that I have, especially with this designation of unidentified aerial phenomena, since we know that that is a legitimate and accurate term that they use, the Department of Defense, which, you know, quick refresher, includes the Department of the Navy, has a huge reference book called the DoD Dictionary of Military and Associated Terms. And the importance about this book in this reference document is it really shows all UAP references, all acronym references that the DoD may use, which should include UAP. The problem is that it doesn't. January 2020 is the last and most recent one that I have found that's been published. And the question mark I have is, why have they not put unidentified aerial phenomena in there? Are they trying to keep this as hush-hush as they can? We know from the past, they're not very open about UFOs. This is an incredibly hot topic right now. So why wouldn't they, if they have guidelines to report them, videos that depict them, and acronyms that reference them, as in UAP, why is that not defined in this book? The closest that I could come was unknown. The second definition for unknown, an unidentified target, an aircraft or ship that has not been determined to be hostile, friendly, or neutral using identification, friend or foe, and other techniques, but that must be tracked by air defense or naval engagement systems. That's pretty much identical to what happened with the Nimitz and the Roosevelt. And the Gimbal and Go Fast videos where these encounters take place, they can't determine what they are, but they tracked them by air defense and naval engagement systems. That is absolutely spot on to what we are looking at, but that is called unknown. And so again, I hate to leave you with a question mark here, but the question mark is, where are the definitions officially for UAP? Because we know that they're using them. And it seems like the cover up and secrecy that I have pursued for 24 years of my life on this very topic is absolutely continuing to this day. By the way, past versions of this have included UFOs in it. So we know that they don't fully hide it. So what is up with unidentified aerial phenomena? And the point is, we don't know. So with that, that is how this whole thing at least went down on my side. I hope you learned at least one or two things. Again, friendly reminder, please, please click on that thumbs up. Click on the subscribe button if you are on the YouTube channel. And if you are not, go ahead and subscribe to it by going to www.theblackvault.com. I'm your host, John Greenwald Jr. Until next time, I'm signing off. I'll see you then.